Oklahoma City to wrap up that road trip.
You were talking about the Rockets, and I don't know if you pay attention to this individual.
The Rockets coming out to play.
Yeah. You know, Drea, who was on all the different hip-hop love shows and married to an NBA player, whatever they're called. Yeah. She was posting all of his stuff, making money and whatnot. Interesting.
Jalen Green?
Yes, Jalen Green. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 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 Jalen Green. She was used to date Gilbert Arenas, I think.
That's who it was.
Yeah, she's Drea. Yeah, she's... I noticed... Let me leave off. Let me leave that alone.
Nice young lady.
USA Basketball, I'm going to transition to anything right here. USA Basketball has entered a media agreement with NBC Universal and NBC Sports to distribute the USA Basketball Showcase and other basketball events, USA Basketball events on NBC, USA Network, and Peacock through 2036.
You know, 2036. There are some rules watching this summer that I would be interested in seeing implemented for even if it was just the preseason, being able to goaltend on the rim. I like that rule. I thought that was interesting.
The FIBA rules.
Yeah, some of them, I like them. I thought it was a different brand of basketball. Clearly, they allow way more physicality.
Yep, no doubt. Do you want more physicality in basketball?
I think
the NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Jakes. Oh, we got the Kings back in our lives. Sacramento.
We've already had 17 preseason games against them. I'm already sick of them.
Dude, the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors play the Kings. They play them first January 5th.
We've got January radio hosts saying the key to their season is Keon Ellis.
Hey, Keon Ellis is a tough player, though. I give him credit. He can defend.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Hey, DeRozan was a nice pickup for them.
Yeah. It's a nice retirement tour.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you said it, not me.
I will say it.
I will say this as well. It's a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Spadoni, you were about to say something?
No, I said a lot of Warriors fans wanted DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, they did. They did. Two different Warriors live today. Ago. Two different. No, they wanted this past season. No, keep your ear to the streets, Shasky. Warrior fans want the world. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. DeMar DeRozan's a good player. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water? He can score, Shasky. He's shaking your head. He can score. We're going to get the Cameron Eddie
out. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but like the Warriors didn't need an ancient two-guard. Like they just moved off an ancient two-guard. They need youth and athleticism and someone who can get up and down, who's in their prime, who could defend.
Buddy Buckets, baby. Let's go. Cameron Antioch, he's got a lineup that he wants the Warriors to trot out here. Lineups, as we talk lineups here, we get back into the 49ers. Shed ahead at Brock Purdy. It was riveting stuff there. Got a little fiery on a morning roast, but, you know, it's all good in the hood. It's Cowboys week. We should be fired up. Niners are 3-4. The Warriors season opens today up in Portland. Cam, stay on hold. We'll get to you on the other side. It's worth saying out loud, Shasky and I.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky at 95.7 The Game.
New season. Warriors are back on the floor tonight in Portland to begin their 2024-25 journey. I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins. I am buying stock in Wiggs. Let's see what it looks like. Now, the stock was low.
That did not seem very full with conviction.
Well, see, you guys think stock, and how low was Andrew Wiggins' stock in this offseason? It was very low. So I went in and bought it. I bought the dip, baby. I bought the dip.
What are you planning on doing with that stock?
Oh, it's just going to rise, and I'll cash out. I told you. No, I'm kidding. Download the Odyssey app. 95.7 game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners, Warriors, stations, and radio shows like Steiny and Guru, right? But Guru's out. Evan's back in today. Guru's sick. Everybody's getting sick around here. Catch amazing interviews you missed too. Like when Steve Kerr joined Willard or Dibs last night. That's right. So, limited divs.
It's ironic. On Sunday, as I was like a beached whale in bed, sweating profusely with a sickness and wondering why I couldn't get off the mat, I saw the whole world crush Deebo Samuel. Like, he's sick. What's he doing? He looks fat. He's bloated. He's this. Oh, he's that. And I was thinking to myself, like, as someone who suffers from horrible migraines from allergies and has probably contracted COVID 8,000 times in the last 3 or 4 years, some days it lasts a day, sometimes it lasts weeks. But I'll say this, I will never, ever, ever, ever get on someone's case if they're sick. And everyone's like, Jordan, the flu game. Yeah, Jordan was not sick. He was hungover. I think it was very different, all right? It's very different. In this situation, like, the guy had a bug. He was sick. And then come to find out he's got pneumonia and he's got, like, fluid in his lungs. My dad had fluid in his lungs. That's what happened to my dad when his heart started giving out. You know? And I'm like, that is serious. Like, I don't think people understand. When you have fluid in your lungs, it's as if someone's pressing down on your chest. You can't move. You can't run. You can't. So the fact that he was even in a uniform is insane to me. And it's like, again, it's another reminder to everyone. You don't know what people are dealing with. Let's wait a second to cast judgment.
Well, the only question I had about that situation, he's sick, he's sick. But I thought it was a bad look because this is how fans think. This is, you told me this, and I've been privy to it. And I'm like, okay, the optics of everything, right? The optics. The optics of him being on the sideline and sick. A lot of fans are saying, well, why has he got a play sheet in his head and a towel wrapped around his head walking back and forth? If you're sick, stay in the locker room. Maybe you want to be with your team. Well, all that stuff. That was the only question that I said, boy, that's not going to look good. I could care less whether or not he's on the sideline or not or in the locker room. I don't really give a damn, to be honest with you, Shasky. But the fans who you hear from all the time, the callers, the tweeters, the texters and everything, they're saying, well, why is he on the sideline and he's sick? And now that he had a pneumonia, it's like, damn. Well, you know?
No, it's a good point. But, like, I just go back to my – and I'm going off
but
me.
But I'm not ripping Deebo. I didn't rip Deebo.
I don't think he's sick. Yeah, I'm
not going to knock that.
And I didn't know if you critiqued him or not Monday. I don't know. I legitimately don't know. I'm just saying I know how people were.
Right.
It's a good point, but, like, this is what's happened to me. Like, there's times where I've come into the office. Remember that one day I came in and I thought I was good to go. And then I got progressively worse within a 20-minute period and ran to the restroom to go throw up. So sometimes things just happen.
Yeah, we know what
you. But it did cross my mind. Like, if he's got any kind of illness, please don't get the rest of the team sick. They can ill afford to have 5 or 6 or 7 guys go down simultaneously.
Well, we never know with you.
And not because I'm some COVID fearmonger. It's more like, we can't get people sick here.
We just know how you are. You know, you're injury prone. We know that. Steiny was just in the green room about an hour ago talking about, you know, we got players who are injury prone, and you got people who fight through things. And you got your stars, and you got people who are resilient. And there's people here who are injury prone. We know who those people
are. You're churching up that way more. Steiny said, we got the star players in the building, and we got the injury prone players out of the building right now. That's what he said.
It's interesting how Steiny has turned into Trent Williams, the guy he like hates the most. Just expensive and old.
Oh, that's not right.
I just call him like I see him.
That's not good. Cam and Eddie, jeez Louise. Cam and Eddie, you talking about a shot. Damn.
Trent played Eddie like hot garbage this year.
Do we know that? Do we know
yes,
that?
Yes, I do know that. Oh, the greatest man. Left tackle who's ever played the game.
Hey, man, Trent, the numbers say he doesn't give up a lot of pressures, but who knows? Cam and Eddie, what's happening?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Oh, man, Cam, I'm never better, man.
I'm surviving these attacks by people that I thought were my friends, Matt Steinmetz.
Yeah, man, big day today, man. But, Bonte, I heard you earlier saying that.
Okay. Let him call back. Call back.
So, what was he going to say, you think?
I don't know, man. Hey, can he call back? Can we allow him to call?
No. He's on 24-hour time.
Damn.
No.
I really wanted to hear Cam's
lineup. You set a precedent, Bonte, where it's just okay to cuss. We can't have that.
No, yeah. Apparently it is okay to curse. Was that every day this week somebody's cursed?
We should have a... You know how they have those like signs that say X amount of days since the last work injury? We should have a sign and just like, because looking at Willard on the Zoom over your head is very disturbing. It's like he's looking into my soul every time I critique Brock Purdy. But I would say this, that like we should have a sign right where Willard's face is that says segments since someone called in and cussed.
We should. Stiney's just in the office. He's got something on his face. He's smiling.
Yeah, if I was Stiney, I'd be smiling too. Where are we going to go today, guys? Like, what's the topic?
See, Stiney, I'm not doing this.
Warrior Day One, baby.
See,
his wheelhouse.
It is his wheelhouse. I do miss talking basketball with Stiney. We get some good basketball conversations, man. You know, that's his wheelhouse. Damn, Cam, I wanted to hear his lineups, man. Every day this week, somebody's cursed, right, Spadoni? Every day this week. It's like 5 days straight we have somebody cursed, right, Spadoni?
Yeah, probably.
Hey, Spadoni, and Sam Lubman, if you will.
Lubman went home because he was sick as well.
No way.
Yes, way.
Well, I mean, patient zero, Matt Hegan, you have, I don't know what to say.
That's who's getting blame. Somebody's always got to get the blame.
I mean, hey,
you know.
You ever seen the movie Outbreak?
Hey, you know, star players like yourself, you know, like yours truly, we don't miss days around these parts.
You literally missed last Monday.
Yeah, that was like the fifth day I've missed this whole year.
It was a holiday, too.
You're a greater man than I.
It was a holiday. I didn't know that, but it was a holiday.
Here's what I would say.
I called it sick.
We were tasked to do a five lineup or whatever, five-man starting lineup.
Oh,
but
yes.
You did this thing, which you always keep doing. They don't care about who starts. I don't care. And this is just a little behind-the-scenes stuff,
I think
some of the players don't care. But I do believe Jonathan Kuminga cares about starting. I think he's at a spot in his career where I do think he cares about starting. Now, every player? No. I don't think Kyle Anderson cares about starting at this point in his career. I think he cares about winning and maybe another multi-year deal or something like that.
There's players who care about starting and not starting, and the fans care about who's starting or whatnot. I just, watching so much basketball, cover so much basketball, whether it's JUCO, whether it's, like, I can remember the final five guys on the court for City College of San Francisco when they beat Citrus for a state championship. I can't remember who started that game. I can remember who finished the game for the Golden State Warriors, you know, but I can't remember who started the game. It's like Anthony Slater brought up JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee would start so many games, play 4 minutes, and you wouldn't see him until the beginning of the second half, and then he'd be gone. That's it. 8 minutes, 9 minutes, and that was that. Does it really matter if he started or not? Like, I guess.
Yeah, but he had 1 foot out of the league before he came to the Warriors. And so I get your point. I'm just saying there are certain guys at certain spots in their careers where I think it matters. Like, I think Jordan Poole, I think it mattered to him. I do. Not that I know him or anything. I don't even have any. I just get the sense a young, ascending player, there's a self-worth, and I believe I'm a starter. I do believe for a long time, Clay thought that, you know, like, he had a lot of, which I get, earned.
Right.
It's not arrogance, but earned.
Equity.
I've earned a starting spot. I am a starter in this league. It matters to me to start. So I do believe that like the starting lineups matter. I'm very interested to see how they figure this thing out this year in terms of working the lineups game to game, matchup to matchup, and then the closing lineups, because those are going to be really interesting.
Well, to take everybody behind the scenes, Matt Nahegan, our program director, sent an email out to everybody. We're going to do a graphic tomorrow with each of your starting lineups for the Golden State Warriors. Can you send me an email with your starting five at some point today? And I, in Ray Rattle form, with something that Ray Rattle would do.
I've had enough.
I would like my graphic to say, who cares? That's it. That's all. That's just my opinion. Now, I am intrigued to see who trots out today and then who trots out Friday in the starting five and whether or not they're going to go to the big lineup with Andrew Wiggins at the two, Kuminga at the three, Draymond at the four, with TJD at the five, with Steph Curry running the point. If they do that, I'm very intrigued with that lineup. But I also want to see when it's money time and it's time to lock in the game. And it's a three-point game or four-point game. It's one of these clutch time games that the Warriors played in so many times last season. Who's going to be closing the show for the Warriors? Who's going to be on that court? Well, I know Steph's going to be on the court, and I know Draymond's going to be on the court. The other three spots, I have no idea who's going to be on the court. Could go by the flow of the game. Could go by who's hot, who's not. I have no idea. But that stuff intrigues me. How you close a game in a tight game. Who's going to be Steve Kerr's trusted five to seal the deal at the end of a game? Just sell and just fire everybody.
No.
Where did that come from? Why don't you play
that? Yeah, no.
We're not selling. We're not firing people. We're not doing none of that stuff.
And Chauncey Billups might get fired at the end of the season, but
One thing. They're playing for his job. There's no doubt.
So during the preseason, I was watching, you know, a lot of these Warrior games, and I have to say it was heartwarming seeing Jerry Stackhouse sitting next to Steve Kerr, and it felt like it was just a good shakeup. Like, I think having different voices and different people from outside the organization sit on that bench, I don't know, I it might be nothing, it might be something, but it felt different.
He's getting into these guys defensively. He is. He is getting on them for their individual defense, their team defense, and it was important. And Mike Dunleavy, in that article that Slater wrote the other day about Mike Dunleavy entering his second season as a GM, it wasn't talked about much on the internet yesterday. There's other big sticky points about marketing and Paul George, but one of the big takeaways I had was Dunleavy approaching Steve Kerr saying, hey, I think we need to shake up with the coaching staff. I think we need to add some veterans here. And Steve Kerr listening said, you know what? You may be right. So you bring in Terry Stotts, and you bring in Jerry Stackhouse. You move Chris DeMarco to the back of the bench. You move Q Bruce Fraser to the back of the bench. They're still on the staff, but now there's more responsibility for Terry Stotts and Jerry Stackhouse. And Dunleavy doing that said, hey, because we talked about the coaching yesterday. Kenny Atkinson obviously went to Cleveland with the Cavaliers. He got a head coaching job. But who else was that voice that could get Steve Kerr's ear? Bringing in Stackhouse and Terry Stotts, I think, is going to make a difference. Now, how many wins? I don't know. But it feels like those two guys, Stotts, who we interviewed, and Stackhouse, are already making a difference offensively and defensively for this roster. So a nice subtle move that's not going to get a lot of headlines. But Dunleavy approaching Steve Kerr saying, let's add some veteran coaches here to the staff.
You know, in years past, I might have scoffed at building out a staff because the roster was so damn good. I think they truly need a dynamic staff this year. Like that, I think that's really important. You've got a lot of guys that are at crossroads in their careers, and you have a lot of guys that are trying to establish themselves either on a multi-year deal from here or getting a multi-year deal from the Warriors.
No, I'm with you. And then on this roster, you see it. There's a lot of money on the line for a lot of these players here as we bag watch. I don't really want to bag watch, but I'm very interested to see Buddy Hield coming out running and gunning. Very interested to see where TJD's growth is and Brendan Podziski. Man, I can't believe basketball's back. That's the thing, too. Can't believe basketball's back. Real hoops. Real hoops.
If I know it's going to be a moving target, okay? This is a night to night. It could be someone different. If you were to nail right now your most important glue guy for the year is?
Ooh, glue guy.
It's a different question.
I like the question. De'Anthony Melton and Brendan Podziski is one of those two.
I lean
Pods.
Yeah.
Because Pods could start. He could come off the bench. And if his catch and shoot game has improved from the 3-point line, well, now you got a guy who can move that ball. He gets to the right spots. Defensively, is he the best player individually? No, he's not. But he tries hard. He led the league in charges for whatever that's worth. But he gets his nose into it. He's a scrapper. He gets people the right ball. He doesn't need to score to impact the basketball game. So I'm going to lean Brendan Podziski because there's a lot of stock into Brendan Podziski within this organization.
And then if you were looking at some of their teams from years past, and it's different now, but like when you have like a Mo Spates off the bench who like he can do just one thing really well and then anything else you get is like a bonus, Otto Porter Jr. comes to mind a couple years ago. Nice shooter, but could rebound really, really well and like occasionally can defend or whatever. Like he was a really good player for the Warriors. I know he had a tough stretch, but like he was a net positive.
Right.
Could Buddy Hield fill some of those like feel good vibes where he just fits?
Could. Maybe.
Are you skeptical on Buddy? Because I think he's gonna be a big player this year for them.
I'm not skeptical on Buddy. Like he's gonna be a high volume shooter, but his impact is gonna come with scoring. I don't think his impact is gonna come with passing. I don't think his impact is gonna come with defense.
He rebounded better in the preseason than I thought.
In the preseason, let's see what happens in the regular season. You know, we've got a track record with Buddy Hield. but
he was good last year, though.
He was so good that Philadelphia didn't play him in the playoffs.
Well, I'm just saying the numbers.
You know what I'm saying? Like the numbers, like it was. I'm not trying to rip Buddy Hield here, but Buddy Hield didn't play for the Sixers.
He had and that De'Anthony one game Melton, in the playoffs.
And De'Anthony Melton was hurt. He was hurt, and he still didn't play. So, you know what I'm saying?
So you're wait and see.
I think his impacts are going to come with scoring. I think if he gets the open looks, this offense is suited for Buddy Hield. All the movement, all the motion offense. I think Buddy's going to hit. He's going to hit a ton of threes for the Golden State Warriors, and I think that'd be a good element for them. But who he plays with is going to be as important. Kyle Anderson getting him the basketball. Pajinski getting him the basketball. You know, Moses Moody, where does he slot in this equation?
I have no clue.
Where's Gary Payton II at in this equation? Where's he going to slot in? Where's his minutes coming from? Is he an important glue guy? So Buddy Hield will be great. I mean, and great I use in terms of his role. In his role, I think he'll be able to maximize his role. But I did have questions. Why didn't Philadelphia play him last year? What was going on in Philly? Did they just mismanage this? Did Nick Nurse just mismanage the situation? Because he didn't play much in Philly.
Look, I can't speak for what went on in Philly, and I'm not here to say that he's some elite player. He's not. He's a role guy. I mean, he's an off the bench guy, an occasional. Can you have two nice games a week? You know what I mean, or something like that. But I'm looking at it and I'm saying they've added a lot of shooting, shooting was a big problem for this team. So right off the rip, I think they're a little better offensively. I think that they're a little worse in terms of passing because you lose Chris Paul. Chris Paul was a great passer. But I think the pace and the tempo and the totality of the roster might offset him as an individual passer. Do you get where I'm going with that?
No doubt. I'm looking at here, and Buddy could score in bunches, right? He could get hot, and he'll score 10 in 2 minutes. He'll score 10 in 90 seconds. He's capable of doing that. But I got to do a little more deeper. I got to do a deeper dive into Buddy Hield on why he only played 32 games for the Sixers last season. Now, he got traded to Indiana. I get that. Overall, I think he played a lot of games. I forgot he got traded from Indiana.
Yeah, he played on
two teams last year. So he did play. You know what? He did play a lot of games last year.
That's what I'm saying. Look at the amount of makes, the three-point makes.
He made a lot of makes, and he played 26 minutes a night.
They're trying to fill in over 200 makes from Klay Thompson. You know, that's a big deal.
But I think he'll be able to do that. I think he'll be able to do that with the combination of Buddy Hield, DeAnthony Melton, and Moses Moody if he gets an opportunity. Those are a lot of buckets. Potts will hit more threes this year. You know what I'm saying? Kaminga's going to hit more threes this year because he'll be able to attempt more threes. I just wonder why Buddy didn't play in the damn playoffs. What was going on with that? But Buddy's going to be fine in his role. Yeah, he had the one good game. What was it?
Second quarter?
Yeah, second quarter he went crazy.
Yeah.
And then that was that.
Well, it's Philly. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
They played 13 minutes a game in that series, 41% from the field, 46 from three, averaged 5.5 points per game, no rebounds, no assists. Philly mismanaged that, especially with all the spacing they needed around Embiid. But Berkeley Pete makes a good point. Hey, Bonte, each charge taken by Paz is a turnover against the other team. Puts a foul on the other team. More valuable than a steal. You're right about that. It is a possession game for the Golden State Warriors. No doubt about that.
I love this team's scrappiness. Again, it's preseason. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it plays out over a month. But they feel a little quicker. They feel a little hungrier. I feel like they're a little more in their primes. And I think that the pieces fit a little better. I talked myself into the Chris Paul thing. And it did start okay, I guess, at times. But they were slower.
Yeah,
they were too reliant on and a little top heavy. I think this team feels a little more balanced.
No, they have a lot more athleticism. I think they're faster. They're going to push the pace. I do like the makeup of this roster. They don't have the sexy big names, right? You don't have the Klay Thompsons. You don't have the Chris Pauls. But right away, what popped up on my screen was
Chris Paul.
I can't believe he was a Warrior.
Can't believe he was a Warrior for a year.
Yeah, that was wild.
We're going to look back at it like it's the Oral Hershiser year. Dude,
that's a good call. It's just like, what is going on here?
We talked ourselves into it and then immediately regretted it.
Hey, Dumb Nation, it's Chris Paul.
Bonte,
we didn't regret it, but
he got off the bench after everyone else did in the play-in game. Like, what was the point of acquiring him?
To shed that salary, move off that money. Get off the Jordan Poole contract, which they did. And get out the luxury tax, which, in essence, has helped this team. And now they're in a better position this time around, roster-wise and financially, to make a bigger move if they want to later on down the road. Whether it's the deadline, whether it's the offseason, they've got assets now, and they can make some things happen. And they are trying. They are big game hunting. Lakem made that known. He made that known in the article with Anthony Slater. We're still big game hunting, but if it works, we're going to do it. If it doesn't work, and that's why the marketed deal didn't go down, because Dunleavy's like, look, we're going to make this deal and be slightly above average. No, Absolutely not. Like, so I like what Dunleavy has done with this roster.
You know, it's very interesting. Like, the basketball is so different from football, but you do risk something. Like, I think of Isaiah Thomas, right? Like, he didn't get the big deal, and then he got hurt, and he never could get that big money deal. I think about Boogie Cousins, right? Like, he got hurt, and it kind of, like, sabotaged his career, and he just never was the same, you know? Like, you can get hurt in the NBA. It's nowhere near the NFL. I love that Kuminga is kind of betting on himself, and I love that the Warriors are essentially saying, go bet on yourself. Like, yeah, we're going to let this thing play itself out. And I understand the get-the-bag culture and all that. Look around the league. I'm not saying that someone isn't going to offer him $50 million. There's just not a lot of teams that have that flexibility. Wow. And so if they're going to carve out money to Jonathan Kuminga, they're also going to have to bid goodbye to a good player as well. And so I don't know. I don't think he's going to get the money he thinks he's going to get. Even if he has a monster year this year, like, look at the projected salary caps around the league. Charlotte's got like $50 million projected in cap space next year, and that's about it. Everyone else is at like $24-25 million. I don't know. I don't think it's as simplistic as he thinks it is.
Well, I just love the option that he's a restricted free agent, so you can match any deal that comes his way, no matter what the deal is. And the new CBA has jacked things up. I underestimated the CBA. When Malik Monk signed that deal, and I thought, what? What's going on here? It was like a foregone conclusion he was getting $30 million a year. And when that didn't happen, and the trickle-down effect of what happened to free agency, the Players Association are going to look back at the CBA deal and say, we screwed up here. CJ McCollum or whoever it is, we screwed this up. Because now guys are not getting that money.
There's no middle class.
Yeah, no, it's either you're getting the top-heavy money,
exactly,
or you're getting the minimum. There's no gray area, right? Kind of like in sports. It's either you got to win or you can't win. It's just very, very strange. Very strange how this went down. So, yeah, to your point, there's not a lot of teams with a lot of cap space. Slater brought up Brooklyn. You know, Charlotte Hornets are always in the mix. But would Kuminga want to go there? He's a star here with the Golden State Warriors, and he hasn't even been a full-time starter yet. You know what I'm saying? Within his own fan base, he's been a polarizing figure as he enters his fourth year. So for the Warriors, I think it's great. It's Stan Pat, knowing that you got the restricted free agency, exactly, offer in your bag. And if Kuminga balls out, best for both parties.
Exactly.
Great for JK, exactly, great for the Golden State Warriors, and now you got an asset moving forward. Let's go to Vince in San Francisco real quick. Vince, what's happening?
Hey,
you're on the roast.
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys are talking about the Warriors, and I actually have a pretty positive outlook on this season. I think we're going to be a sleeper team. The additions, I think, kind of bring me back to the 2015 vibe. We had a bunch of vets in the league that, you know, teams kind of passed up on, and then it just seemed to gel really well, and I think the chemistry is a little bit better. It is preseason, so I can't really tell too much. The only concern I have is who is Steph's number two going to be. Is it for sure going to be Wiggins, or is it for sure going to be J.K.? We may be that one guy away to play that role, but I think we're going to go under the radar this season, and we're going to actually surprise a lot of teams.
What is that? What's the end game, Vince? What's the end game? You said, because I see your caption, it said 2015 vibes, and I'm thinking, whoa, 2014-15 vibes.
I'm not going to go out there and say that they're world beaters and they're going to make it to the finals and win the finals, but I do not see them just being a play-in team again. I actually think they're going to lock up a for-sure seed to be in the playoffs and actually have a run at it. That's why I say the only concern is who's the number two going to be, because without a solidified number two, you can't really have finals aspirations.
Yeah.
Because defense is just kind of key in. When it's crunch time, teams know that Steph's going to go get the ball. But if Steph can't get the ball or he can't get a good look, who's going to step in and take that shot? Is it going to be Buddy in a role position? Is it going to be J.K. or Wiggins flashing and getting a monster dunk to get the crowd into it? Who knows? But without knowing for sure who a number two bucket getter is going to be, you know, that's the only concern. But I do see maybe a six seed in the Warriors franchise this year.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good call. Sleeper vibes. Sleeper vibes. You know what
else? It does feel good. It does feel good to not be the quote unquote hunted for the first time in a long time.
I like being the hunted.
I just felt like everyone was chipping away at all the things we weren't, and it's like, all right, we get it. We're not what we used to be.
I like that me against the world mentality. The hell with everybody else.
Okay, Tupac.
You know, the Boston. I was getting, you know, you brought up 2014-15 vibes. I didn't get these vibes for the Boston Celtics. It's not a like for like, but remember the Warriors won that championship and Doc Rivers came out and said, well, they didn't have to play anybody at full strength. And everybody's like chipping away at their first title in 40 years. And Clay was ticked off and everybody was ticked off. And then, wow, they won 73 games in the regular season. It took the Cavaliers to the brink and were 4 minutes away from completing one of the greatest seasons in NBA history. The Celtics, in a way, it's not a like for like situation, but Jaylen Brown not getting invited to the Olympics after winning the Finals MVP and the Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Yeah, it was pretty
stupid.
Jason
Tatum not even playing for Team USA, not even picking up DMPs when he's a first-team All-NBA player.
Yeah, but he's not better than Durant.
Well, you know what? Don't tell him that, because he'll tell you, I swept Durant in the playoffs before. Mano a mano. I went at Kevin Durant. I guarded him. He guarded me. And I cooked him. And we swept the Brooklyn Nets. That's what Taysom Tatum's going to say. And you know what? They came out last night against the New York Knicks. And Boston has that edge to them like the Warriors did after the 2014-15 season. Yeah. They've got that edge saying, oh, you want to disrespect us? Now we've got our built-in motivation. And they're going to be tough to beat in the seven-game series this season if they're healthy. They're loaded. And that it just kind of reminds me of like when the Warriors went into that season. It's like, wait, you're not going to respect our championship? You're going to disrespect us? Now, it happened in a different way, but Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum still have those chips on their shoulders. They're not getting the respect they deserve.
It was funny seeing Steve Kerr's name trending during the game. It was a thing.
They go to Boston in 2 weeks, man. It's going to be insane out there.
That team is a well-oiled machine. I mean, they are really deep and dynamic. But after this year, they've got some serious cap penalties that are going to hit them hard. And they've got some guys that they're going to have to say goodbye to Porzingis, and Horford eventually will retire, even though he's not the player that he once was. And I don't think they'll be able to retain Pritchard. Like, they've got a lot of little moves that are going to be very restrictive. What do they end up doing with Jrue Holiday? Because he has a big contract. Like, the two stars that you pay in this new CBA are extremely important, and you have to have value across the board. Right now, they've got four bloated contracts. Yep. So they're one of the few teams that's wait till their money starts to hit. It's after this year, really.
Yeah, no doubt. And but that's they're going to sell the team. But you know, they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, hands down, they're their favorites.
They're like, I don't dismiss that at all. And their ball movement, and the way they shoot, and the way that they can defend, they're an excellent team.
Boys, it is. We didn't talk much about the Cowboys. We'll ratchet that up. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but shout out RJ out there at 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. They declined another simulcast with us.
No, I mean,
how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
I mean, we're their owners, and, you know, when it comes to radio, so, you know, I can see they've been smacked down by an owner in the last month. Why have it happened
twice? Did you hear what Jerry Jones told him yesterday?
No, what did he say?
Do we have that Spinoza?
I'm so jealous of them getting Jerry on.
Oh, they got Jerry, Stephen Jones. Wait till you hear what Jerry had to say about that. Steve Kerr, obviously, if you want to go back and listen to the Steve Kerr interview with Willard or Dibbs, it was really good. Said Draymond's in a great spot. Buddy Hield's a breath of fresh air. Dunleavy, great offseason. The Warriors are feeling good right now as they head up to Portland to take on the Blazers. Here's Jerry Jones on the incident last week with RJ Sean. I'll go ahead and play it, Spadoni.
Jerry, well, what do you want to say, if anything, about last week?
I don't have anything to say about last week. I'm happy, though, that I'm surprised that last week got the attention it got, but really, when I think about what we try to do on this show, is I think we give you two shots a week that I get on, and Steven gets on once or twice, and those are really a privilege. It's kind of like pillow talk. You get some inside stuff. As you know, I don't go before the normal press conferences during the week usually.
Yeah.
And so this is the kind of thing I would expect and how I would answer it relative to many of your questions.
Privilege and pillow talk.
You remember how we were doing it like the sports whisperer? I think we need to do pillow talk now.
Pillow talk.
Hey, Bonte, do you still have faith in Shanahan?
Hey, Shasky, I have a lot of faith in Shanahan. Matter of fact, I'm going to buy stock. I'm going to buy stock in Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. But you haven't had a lot of faith in Purdy. Do you have faith in Purdy?
I have faith in Purdy. I have plenty of faith in Purdy. Plenty.
I like Brock Purdy.
What's going on here?
It's Pillow Talk.
Stop.
It's a new segment.
Stop it.
Now, Pillow Talk doesn't have the greatest connotation because, you know, the streets when you're pillow talking, it's like, oh, you talking bad about me to a girl? Like, what are you doing?
This is how the whole Diddy case unraveled.
I don't know, people. I don't even know what's going on with that. I've been out of the loop on that one. By the way, they paid
for it. How could you be out the loop on that when it's everywhere?
No, it's not. It's not a very, no.
J-Lo's getting rolled in.
No, I have no idea what's going on with Pity. I couldn't tell you the last time I've read about it. I don't even look into it.
Guru sends me something new every day.
Oh, blame Guru. Blame Guru.
Oh, I mean, he's ruined my algorithm.
I'm off. I'm
blame
out.
Blame Guru.
I'm out.
The irony of Guru ripping Deebo Samuel for being sick and on the sidelines and then he's sick.
He ripped Deebo?
Yeah. I tuned in for like 5 minutes, him and Steiny. Steiny was in his bag on Monday. In his bag.
I thought you only tuned in for 5 minutes.
Yeah, Steiny and Goo.
Yeah, but how do you know if he was in his bag if you only listened to 5 minutes?
Because that 5 minutes was glorious. It was like vintage Warriors when they turned it on for 5 minutes and they knew they could win.
Lamar Jackson stinks.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, well, you know.
Lamar Jackson might be winning his third MVP.
I think he's winning his first Super Bowl.
49ers. They're in a shambles.
I mean, they have the number one and number two MVP candidates.
Look at the players of the week the last month. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry.
I mean,
they're your offensive players of the week.
Real quick, guys, some programming alerts for Steiny and Guru. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today alongside Matt Steinmetz. Mr. October himself,
Reggie
Jackson, Yankees legend, Oakland A's legend, 11 o'clock, courtesy of the River Islands guest
That's
line.
Cool.
Reggie Jackson joining the boys at 11.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
They have a softball game going on, right? Reggie Jackson softball game on the 27th. It's this Saturday, right? Mr. October, Reggie, I'll be tuning in. And you get Yankees-Dodgers? Yankees-Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
All right. Is it time for Fast Five?
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
My final thought is this, Montek. I feel horrible for Brandon Ayuk. Absolutely horrible for him. And it's just a devastating injury. So unfortunate. The game is just so violent. Simultaneously, the Niners salary cap situation with the money and everything is just, it sucks so much that this guy got hurt because it was so important that he was healthy for them because I wanted them to build their passing game around him moving forward. So now you got Trent at like a zillion years old, CMC who hasn't played a snap for you this year, Deebo is probably going to be a dead cap hit, you got Eric Armstead who's a dead cap hit this year, you got Javon Hargrave who's going to be a dead cap hit next year. I mean, they are in salary cap hell that I can't remember going back to like what the early 2000s. It's not good. Like, it is not good. And it's just, oh gosh, that injury sucks so much for him.
Go ahead, Spadoni. I gotta think on my final thought.
Hell of a win last night for the Los Angeles Lakers and J.J. Redick in his debut as NBA head coach for that franchise. It was just refreshing to see, a 7-0, 8-0 run and the coach calling a timeout and not letting it turn into a 15-0 or a 20-0 run like a certain coach named Darvin Scam would do in years past. That was refreshing. There's also a new dynamic duo in the NBA. It's just getting started. It's called the Austin to Dalton Connection. Ladies and gentlemen, get used to it.
This is not a good minute for you, Spadoni.
I think we limit Laker talk this year.
Spadoni, you're trying to endear yourself to the Bay Area. Going on Lakers rants like that's not going to help you, son.
Obnoxious
Laker
talk.
Not going to help you. couldn't even take off the Lakers underwear
that
for one morning.
That was NBC authentic.
Oh,
right
my
there
gosh.
Is what that was.
Oh, man. Carter, what you got?
Hey, Carter.
Hey, Shasky. I'm with you, Shasky. The Niners are just so disappointing at this point. I'm actually going to be just watching the Warriors game on Sunday.
Oh my God.
That's where I'm at. I'm just so disappointed. But I expect them to win Niners money line Sunday.
Carter, can you sign up and be our right tackle? Colt McKivitz sucks.
Honestly, Colt McKivitz sucks, but Jake Brendel's scooting by, too.
Oh, the holds?
Unbelievable.
How about when they all whiffed? I mean, I could not believe it. And Tom Brady's like, they're going to go into the film room and go, guys, look at this. You're two of you on the ground. You know, one guy running at the quarterback, unabated.
This is something, though, no one talks about enough, honestly. That's a huge problem with the 49ers. It just does not get brought up enough as McKivitz and Brendel.
It's just horrible.
You know.
And they have Creed Humphreys, maybe the best center in the game.
You know, my final thought is this. It's still come to me. I have to listen to Carter or listen to the Shasky. This generation is just cooked. You guys don't know how to fight through adversity. Things get tough, and you want to fire everybody. You quit. You don't even want to.
Said fire?
Carter's talking about, I'm not even going to watch the game on Sunday. It's Cowboys Niners.
Just fire everybody.
This Cowboys is what Niners. Bill Walsh did. Cowboys you go Niners. Through depression of 3 or 4 days.
This is my final thought, not yours. Carter's not even going to watch the game on Sunday.
Not live.
He's not going to do the double screen. Warriors and Cowboys, double screen. And he's not even going to do it. And he's talking about quitting on a season. It's only week 7.
I mean, what am I supposed
to do? Cowboys, they're 4-4 with a bye week getting ready for Tampa Bay, who's got no wide receivers. Let's go. Got to fight through adversity, young people. Come on, boys and girls.
I've quit this team 10,000 times, yeah, Carter. You'll,
don't be like
you'll
Shasky.
Be back.
What do I do, bring an iPad to Chase Center?
Quitters. Quitters. No. The Morning Roast doesn't breed quitters. We breed roasters who are resilient. And when things get tough, that's when we show our true colors here. And
we rise above Shanahan.
It. It's time to quit on this segment.
Let's quit on this show. Let's fast forward by the Xfinity at home. We're on the go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.